are thinking about him earlier. Documents. It's Matt Bracken, geopolitical expert. Can't wait to talk to him. Right now, let's go to your calls. Victor and Savage Dog, last callers. Victor is from Venezuela, calling in from Texas. What is your view on what we've said today?
Well, it's very, very important for everybody to get this word out and understand that it's no joke. It's life and death. Personally, I'm from Maracaibo. I was raised here in the United States. And personally, my uncle died from anemia, of all horrible things to die from. My grandma died from an infection she got in a medical procedure in a hospital in Maracaibo. I mean, my family, I have five different countries where my family's been displaced to outside of the U.S. And what people don't really talk about is Maduro's wife, Cecilia. We need to kind of put a spotlight on her because she has the political iron grip side of the coin. She was Chavez's lawyer when he was in jail before he became president popular. So he made her like the equivalent of what is the Speaker of the House. In Venezuela. So she has amazing pull and got married with Maduro after Chavez died. What a coincidence. One thing I did want to shout out, very important, it's incredibly crazy how how Maduro has his thumbs up in most of the pictures. Why is he happy? The optics to me are kind of like he made a deal, sort of kind of like the clothes being different. It seems like we have him very comfortable. He has, like, I think maybe like 10
photos. Well, I mean, in all the videos, they look like they were saved. That's why Patrick Byrne's really smart. He thinks they got rescued, basically.
Well, yeah, that's what I learned today from you. That's a great angle I haven't thought about. And another one, it's like, how the hell did we have an operation at 2 a.m. and then protesters pop up at 7 a.m.? I mean, what the hell is that?
Like, all over the country with the same signs.
Yeah, well, did they make it to the banner store at 5 a.m.? Were they open? Like, how'd that work? Like,
well, I wouldn't tie that to them staging it with Trump. It's the Soros group. We know who funded it. It's the same group. They already had all this printed up for weeks, ready for this.
I mean, this is like at a key turn kind of attack that we have. I mean, you can see it so blatant within hours at a speed dial kind of rate. It's just phenomenal. I did want to shout out like the playbook that I've seen kind of play out here because the MS-13 was listening to you. I understood that like the TPS kind of is the mechanism that legally gets things started where they bring in the gangs and then they traffic.
Yeah, the CIA created in California MS-13 and then they made a deal with Maduro with TDA. So the CIA is at the top of it. The question is, can Trump shut that down?
Exactly, and so I think Honduras was next on the deep state list if Trump wouldn't the president at the moment, because you could tell like a lot of the drug trafficking started moving that direction, after Venezuela. So I think the Trump 3D chess move here is that all the trender and all the evil members are being led to Salvador with Nayib Bukele's prison system. And they're being, I guess, through that terrorist declaration that they have, are being all kind of thrown there and filtered through there. And so we have the kind of silver smelter kind of 3D angle as well, where JP holds them 50 million ounces, and they are also financing the smelter company. So we're kind of at a national security level. Securing, our metal assets compared to the West, to the East. So China, basically, right? And so, and then also see the dark oil move where China was, obviously promised, illegally with...
There's about Trump blowing up the UN control system, acting unilaterally, cutting out China, and then coming with a better deal for Latin America to not keep people poor. And that's why overall, if he's successful, it'd be a beautiful move. But it's very dangerous. Matt Bracken's concerned. So am I. He's coming up. Savage Dog, thank you, Victor. Last caller, I'm going to turn the baton over to former Navy SEAL, best-selling author, Matt Bracken, on these incredible historic developments. A major global political realignment is happening now. The Mullahs are close to falling in Iran. What will China do? What will Russia do? How does it all tie together? We'll break it all down straight ahead. Stay with us.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com. Counterterrorism expert. He's all for getting rid of Maduro, but he's got serious concerns, and so do I. We'll be talking to him here in just a moment. But Savage Dog in Georgia, Venezuelan, wants to talk about what Patrick Byrne talked about, the indictments and more, is a Marine. Final caller here on my broadcast, the War Room with Harrison Smith coming up in 54 minutes. Savage Dog, what's your view?
Hey, how you doing, Alex? No, not Venezuelan. I'm American.
Okay, I'm sorry. Is it Marine Venezuela? I read it wrong. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. My question is this. Okay, it seems like, okay, you know, Brianna has her countdown of days without an arrest. We've had Big Tish and Comey. I think they were test runs to see if we could even get it to trial. Never happened. All right, so I'm wondering if they finally said, okay, we're going to have to do this a different way, and we're going to have to put the horse in front of the cart, and Maduro, along with his spy chief came over here and gave us a bunch of intel. Now we got Maduro, and I agree with you that, he's already made the deal. Just get me out of here. I'll make the deal. What kind of information can he have? I just need a little bit of hopium or something to get me out of the black pill. I personally have hope with this. I think he's going to come up here and spill the beans and burn everybody he can. How do you think, or do you think it will matter?
Well, let's be clear. I could talk 5 hours on this key point you just made. The Justice Department is hopelessly institutionally corrupt. They've passed all these laws where the president can't even really control who's in there without huge effort with judges blocking people he fires. But when it comes to the military, that's why they've been so scared of him using the military in different ways, he can get a lot done. And so Trump is going in hemispherically, kicking the Chinese out, destabilizing Cuba, Mexico. And so I understand the move. The problem is the pitfalls. I know they want to leave the bureaucracy in while they get an election going, but I don't trust Maduro's second command, who's now in command. So when you ask, what does Maduro know? He was using his own diplomatic planes to ship the drugs around. He knows where all the bodies is buried. And the problem is if they try to prosecute deep staters that are connected to this, the Justice Department will go nowhere. So how could that be militarily done? I know he's had Hegseth examine tribunals and things. People say, well, that's tyranny, that's whatever. Well, that's where we are. Okay, you know, what would Abraham Lincoln do? We know what he would do. What would George Washington do? We'd be Thomas Jefferson. We'd be way past us at this point. So this is where they brought us. So to answer your question the best I can, Trump threw the first punch as an exercise of power to show China and everybody else we're not playing games, and to cut off the election fraud and the money laundering operation of the Democrats. So they're scared right now because they're seeing real action from Trump. And now he's talking about Cuba and all the rest of it. I'm worried about setups there. But bottom line, we are seeing action out of Trump. So it's a whole other ballgame. We'll get Matt Brackett's take on your question here in a moment. Anything else, Savage Dog?
I actually want to see the United States take control over, not take control over, but to eliminate the communists, all the troublemakers, right? Like Mexico, Cuba, Colombia, and then I want Trump to exit NATO, and I want to have a North, and then make a North American Union that has actual like a NATO kind of deal with trade and military support, and then we tell Canada you can't be communist anymore. You got to join or
sure, it can be done by agreement. I don't want to have a union politically in a constitution, but yes, America's been sold out to globalism. It's allowed all these foreign powers to come in. Under Trump, he's ending that. This is the policy rollout of that. And the question is, how successful will it be? But no doubt, Trump is trying to reassert U.S. control over our country and over our hemisphere. Thanks for the call. All right, I'm going to hand the baton to Matt Bracken here. I've been so busy with news, I barely plugged today. That's my fault. But I'm funded by you, and I appreciate your support very humbly. Thank you for your support, those that have. Those that haven't, what are you waiting for? Our information is bar none the best. The supplements are game-changing. The methylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, T-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it. But there's a deal going for a few more days where you buy any supplement and get a bottle of the Shilajit gummies or Atomic Defense Super Immune Booster free. You choose which free gift you want. That funds our operation, thealexjonesstore.com. I want to thank those that have stood with us. If you're going to buy anything, become a VIP. Just in your profile, $30 a month, cancel anytime, no charge. You get $40 every time you spend $30 to spend. So you make $10 if you're going to buy anything, you should be a VIP. Then you get special deals, special offers, special sales on top of everything. Also, you get big discounts when you use the app for Android or for Apple at alexjonesapp.com. It just links you through to get the free apps right there. So it's the same shopping cart online. TheAlexJonesStore.com. I want to thank you all for your support. Matt, answering his question, I'm going to turn things over to you. You've got major concerns about all this. Already, we have DeLacy Rodriguez shooting her mouth off and saying, you know, they're not going to work with Trump, though they made an agreement too. Trump saying, well, I'll treat you way worse than Maduro. The problem is we've been put in a box here now to escalate, so it's a game of chicken. And then you got Trump talking about hitting Cuba and all the rest of it. There's a lot of pitfalls here and a lot of issues. I know why Trump's making the move, but I am concerned, and I want to hear how you think he should respond and what he should do. But first, to answer the last caller's question, it looks to me like Maduro made a deal. He was being held hostage by the Cubans who wouldn't let him leave, we know, and that it was still a daring raid. But that's what the smart money is on right now. You look at his body language, his wife's body language. They look like they'd been saved in all the photos and videos. And I would expect him to turn state's evidence against the deep state. Will Trump actually prosecute the deep state? Or will he just use that as blackmail and roll that in? Or am I completely wrong about that postulation I've made? Matt Bracken, we'll put your websites on screen for TV viewers. All the great work you do.
Sure.
Give us your 35,000 foot view.
Yeah, there's when you bring up the photos of Maduro walking through like DEA headquarters, there's so many layers and ways to look at this, you know, as in possibly even a war between the military and the CIA, you know, Hegseth and honorable military versus the old legacy drug running Yale skull and bones CIA. That's one matrix. And there's so many. I'm concerned about being drawn into a quagmire. It's we have very smart people in the military. You know, I go back to 1980 during the era of the Desert One fiasco when we were trying to pull off the Iranian hostage rescue. That was 1980, and SOCOM came out of that. The Unified Special Operations, where the Delta works with the SEALs, works with the 160th Special Operations Air Regiment. All of these guys been practicing this, along with the Marines have special ops now, all sitting on ships off of Venezuela for months. So I wouldn't brag too much about like this being, this was a raid. This was a snatch. Okay. That's what they train for. That's in a sense easy. This is not Vietnam. This is in and out, but it could turn into Vietnam. And for that, we would be completely unprepared, I think. You know, the oil in Venezuela, it's not like the oil well is next to the dock. The oil wells are scattered all over the country. And if there's no security in Venezuela, there's no way the anybody gets
like the Viet Cong are going to pick everybody off.
Well, in the country, you can have, in the countryside, you can have anti-Yankee, anti-imperialists coming in from Colombia and Brazil. There's no way to stop them. There's 5,000 kilometers of land border, jungle, 1,000 rivers. There's no way to stop people from coming in if they want to come in. And the oil wells and the oil infrastructure, it's old. It would all have to be rebuilt. There's a great movie from, I don't know, 15 years ago called Proof of Life with Russell Crowe, where an American oil engineer in a mythical South American country is kidnapped by like FARC or Sendero Luminoso guerrillas. So you can see that we might go in there with the attitude very close to that movie's plot. We just want to build bridges and pipelines and increase the standard of living here in, you know, this mythical country around Ecuador or Peru. But the guerrillas want the Yankees out, and they'll kidnap, blow up the pipeline. The last thing they want is to raise the standard of living of all Venezuelans. They're dedicated communists. I agree with Patrick Byrne that there may be a lot of the leaders in Venezuela they're not dedicated communists anymore. They're just thugs and gangsters. But the control arm, the control mechanism, which is the Cubans in Venezuela, that at least 32 of them got blown away. I saw some pictures privately that are pretty gruesome, like headshot pictures. So the remaining Venezuelan leadership has to have seen those pictures too. And they're going to be very concerned that they're not the next on the hit parade. So we learn from the Iraq experience, and Patrick Byrne brought this up. Paul Bremer, absolutely first ambassador there, absolutely textbook how not to do it, which was fire all of the Ba'ath Party. Just fire them. This would be like denazification in 1945. Anybody that wore a Nazi swastika, you can't be in the government. Well, that means the government collapses because these guys also run the water treatment plant, right? So we're trying to slide along the edge of a razor here, and it may or may not work. One thing that's cool, I mean, if the CIA's been down there, obviously, everybody is now wondering who has been paid off already, okay? Dulcy, she's talking about, there's, who knows what's legit coming out of there, because you see blocks of text says it's attributed to so-and-so, that they're going to be like looking for anybody that cooperated with the American military. But they are in the back of their mind wondering who's already got $5 million in a Miami bank account and is ready to sell out my location.
The generals the day after shooting their mouth off, half of them are on the CIA payroll. So there's a lot of pretending going on.
I watched a Andrei Martinov video other night, and I looked up this quote. I didn't see it, so it must be a Russian quote. And this is great. It says, "No fortress can withstand a donkey laden with gold." Okay, so there's always a back door to the castle, and somebody will sell you out. Even like in Braveheart, the Scottish nobles. You know, it's the movie version, but the Scottish nobles, they're not down for the long struggle. They'll all get castles in England and they'll be, you know, promoted in rank and get the donkey laden with gold.
You survived and increased your titles.
Right. And something that I was talking to or texting with Chuck Holton, who's down there right on the border now. He's very well-known photojournalist, videographer, works for lots of other networks. He's been interviewing people coming out of Venezuela. He can't get in. It's the border is closed. There's 100 journalists from around the world with their cameras set up but nobody's going, no, other than Venezuelans, nobody's getting in to Venezuela there. But he interviewed people coming out. And the Venezuelan people are very afraid of retribution at this point. Because there's this concept or this group, informal group in Venezuela called that they call the colectivos. And this is like armed biker gangs who they have no official connection to the government, but the government uses them as their enforcers. And the colectivos, anywhere that there are people who are against the regime, they'll come in on motorbikes with guns, shooting and killing people. The government says, we don't know what that is. And the colectivos, their pay is they get to take whatever they rob. So they kill you and rob you. They just take it, and there's no police action against them. So in this state of flux.
So they have a letter of marque, a letter of marque.
They do, but not official, nothing written. The government, you know, the government maintains plausible deniability, but the people are afraid if they went out and did, like we've seen, do these big demonstrations against the regime, they'd get shot. You know, they'd be shot. And right now we're in this another part of this, another way of looking at this. We're in a war of narratives. You know, info war, the highest war. So all these happy Venezuelans videos, most of them are fake. They'll take like old soccer match videos of crowded streets and they'll put new labels on them. Or you'll have somebody that's supposedly speaking Spanish, but it's a completely wrong translation in English. So the AI crap is just coming out of the woodwork, including some real, the top AI guy right now is probably this guy named Asian Guy. One of your previous recent callers mentioned, and it's obvious this AI guy, Asian guy, he's getting impact because that all these airplanes are flying out silver and it's all about these mines. Venezuela is not a big silver producer. So the Asian guy, a lot of his information is really good, like good propaganda has to be 90% true so that you'll insert the 10%, that's the payload. So if people are quoting that, oh, these C5s are flying out silver and where they're taking control of mines, that's BS. You know, so we're in the middle of this narrative war. It started really with social media. Tunisia, the guy burned himself in Tunisia. That led to the whole Arab Spring, you know, revolutions across the Arab world. Then the Maidan coup, color revolution. It's who has the cameras there and how is it broadcast to the world? If you can convince the world that a revolution is popular, even if it's not, it gets a lot of traction. Or maybe there is a popular revolution, but nobody's heard of these colectivos. They think, well, hey, look, if nobody's protesting against, if nobody's protesting against the regime, if the only people in Caracas protesting are the pro-Maduro people, then that must be how the Venezuelans feel. No, the ones that would protest against the regime are afraid of bikers gangs showing up with AK-47s. And there will be no camera when that happens, you know, and no way to get it out.
Sure. So in closing, because I want you to host and I'm listening to you, but I have real questions I want to ask you. So I just sit in my office listening. What was Trump supposed to do? Was he wrong to do this? Because overall, I get the idea. People say, oh, you're a warmonger. No, I mean, I get this is different than neocon policy. I get why Trump was induced to do it. But does he see what a big trap it is? And does this limited success embolden him to make more adventures and be set up?
If it works, you know, when MacArthur did the Incheon landing in Korea, which was like a huge end around, remember in Korea, it started at the 50-yard line, went to our 2-yard line. Then he did an end around up to North Korea to Incheon. Most of the people thought he was out of his mind. The tide, there's like 25-foot tides. If you get anything wrong, it's a complete slaughter. And MacArthur goes down in history as the biggest fool that led to the huge military disaster. But it worked, so MacArthur's a hero, and he's a genius, right? So this is like, you know, throwing the long pass with no timeout in the fourth quarter. If it works, it's great. But the risk of being drawn in step by step, you can't discount the fact this country's like 5 times bigger than South Vietnam. You know, when you look at all the Vietnam movies, you see a big map on the wall. It's like, Vietnam, here's the I Corps, and, you know, here's the Marines, and, you know, helicopter bases all over the place. That's a sliver compared to Venezuela. Just a sliver. And it's jungle.
It's 12 times bigger than Panama. Took them, 12 days to take over Panama. So that's what we actually occupied.
And we already had all that infrastructure. We had that infrastructure, latent infrastructure in Panama. And
yeah, we were Panama, invading our own bases.
And Panama, remember the Darien Gap. Michael Yan and everybody so familiar with the Darien Gap. There's no road from Colombia to Panama. It's the Darien Gap for a reason. Whereas Venezuela has 5,000 kilometers of land border with Brazil. That's Lula. Colombia, they've got an anti-American president also. So there's no way they're going to give if they have sanctuaries on the Brazil side for these guerrillas, that'll be infiltrating through 1,000
rivers.
It'll
just be like Cambodia and Laos and Vietnam.
Even harder. And Cambodia and Laos, the Ho Chi Minh Trail, that was bombed by B-52s forever, right? It looks like the lunar landscape. And they still came. So, jungle, 5,000 kilometers of jungle, Panama or with Colombia and Brazil, and their governments don't like us. So if we get sucked into this, like we're leaning forward to fixing the infrastructure and we have the best intentions, we want to raise the standard of living and spread the wealth. We don't want any money coming to America. We just want a stable country in Venezuela. The communists aren't going to say, fine, well, if it's for the good of the people. They're going to do just like that movie, it's a highly recommend, called Proof of Life. They're going to kidnap the engineers, hold them for ransom, blow up every piece of infrastructure they can find. They do not want America to succeed.
Is that why Trump's threatening to hit Colombia proper?
I think he should tone it down a little bit. I think biting off, one country that's five times bigger than South Vietnam at a time is enough. I mean, don't you think? I'm reminded of the Desert Storm thing, which was like late
1991.
We had like 6 months to build up our forces in Saudi Arabia before we launched just on Kuwait, the Iraqis in Kuwait, right? 6 months. And that kind of a war is never going to happen again because everybody in the region would start firing missiles at it, at those
plus, it's desert, it's not jungle.
Right, but we almost just, with this little raid, it was comparable to Desert Storm in the sense that we've just spent like 3 months putting a Marine Amphibious Ready Group, Carrier Battle Group, Marine Corps, Air Force, tankers flying back and forth constantly over the Gulf of Mexico. We've controlled that whole area. Focused on it, you send jets in so they can collect the electronic warfare so we can shut down their radars and everything else. Just for this raid, we'd never be able to do that against, say, China over Taiwan or anywhere near Russia.
Yeah, and how much do you think we spent? Like, I bet $100 billion.
And if it works, great. But the downside risk is very high. I remember with Saddam Hussein, he was captured in 2003.
Spider hole.
That didn't end the war, right?
Yeah, there's
another guy behind
him. Come back and get in whatever you want, but what do you think Trump should do then? How does he extricate himself, and does Maduro turn state's evidence against the deep state? I want your take on that.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, This was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new products, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take this, it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
The Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalist. Get ultra methylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
Hello there. I'm back solo. I've got a little bit of a cold, but I'll do the best I can. I did my daily methylene blue. Should carry me through. I know it will. You know, on January the 1st, which is not that long ago, I wrote a pretty lengthy Substack article that's called The Global Resource War is Going Kinetic. And one day later, we attacked Venezuela. And one day after that, President Trump was talking about getting the oil out of Venezuela. So I feel like I had some pretty amazing timing in the last couple of days on that. But it's about a lot more than Venezuela, and it's about a lot more than just the oil. You know, we're all familiar with the petrodollar. We're all familiar with the system that we've had for the last half of a century, and oil being the dominant financial commodity on the planet. But there's another one that's growing in importance to rival oil, and that's silver. we're always going to need oil for powering ships and airplanes. I can't ever see a solar-powered, giant ship or a wind turbine airplane. It's not going to happen. It's going to require liquid fuels. Maybe aircraft will be powered by batteries if they get good enough. It remains to be seen. I don't see batteries big enough to power ships across the ocean. But even if the technology became available, the silver required for them wouldn't be available in that amount. So silver is always going to be for the smaller and more high leverage, high output applications. But the problem with silver is you just can't open up a new silver mine like you would open up a new factory. The easy silver has already been taken out of the ground. Now we're fighting deeper and deeper into the earth. You have to take out tons and tons of rock ore to eventually get, a couple ounces of silver. So we're kind of reaching limits, foreseeable limits, on what we can get out of silver at the same time that technology is promising more and more breakthroughs that depend on silver. For example, solar panels. You get energy out of a solar panel, it could last, 20, 30, 40 years, but you need silver to make them. The data centers need silver. Missile systems need silver. Everything electronic and high tech needs silver. There are no substitutes for it. So we're going to see not only wars over oil, all the Middle East wars, you see all the memes, somebody finds oil, here come the American soldiers. Well, now we're going to see that over silver. And an amazing thing is, it's not the first time that this happened in history. When the Spanish got to the New World, they started in the Caribbean, got to Mexico, spread down to South America, and they found out almost by accident about a mountain called Potosí that's called in Spanish the Rich Mountain, that it was so full of silver that they just honeycombed it and took out so many tons of silver that it was almost unimaginable. This is like a nugget of silver planted on the earth. Well, that's gone. And this silver that came out of South America, a large part of it, believe it or not, went to China, not to Europe. It went to China on these giant Manila galleons that were bigger than any other ships at the time, that were made in the Pacific just for this trade route. The Spanish would take the silver up to Acapulco, Mexico, then sail it across to Manila in the Philippines, which is one of the greatest natural harbors in the world. And Chinese junks and big junks, like, 4 or 5 masted, would come to the Philippines to trade for the silver. And it's interesting because there's a very resonant of today's history, financial aspect. Until that period, the Chinese emperors had collected taxes in the form of wheat, rice, or labor, which was very complex. You had to figure out how much, each landowner had to pay per year in commodities, wheat, rice, or labor. But, that didn't account for droughts or civil disturbances or anything else. So one of the emperors came up with the idea of what they called the single whip tax. The single whip would be, you have to pay the emperor in silver. Don't care about the rice. Don't care about the wheat or the labor. You just pay us in silver. And this coincided with the Spanish delivering, literally shiploads of silver coinage to Manila to be traded for Chinese goods. At the time, the West really had nothing. In the English found this out later. The West had nothing to offer China that China didn't build better, more modern production, porcelain, silk, things that they could never make in Europe at the time. So all that the West had to offer in the 1500s and 1600s was the silver directly. Later, the British got in with the opium because, again, the Chinese had no interest in, woolen sweaters from England. They could make any sweaters they wanted. So all the way back 400 years, 500 years almost, there's been this fight over silver. And now we're seeing it again, where you know the price of silver has been suppressed for over a decade by the banks that are shorting it. That seems to be breaking down. Silver is up to $75 an ounce, but in Shanghai it's $81, $82 an ounce. So we're seeing a new facet of this silver war. In fact, I brought one of my my own. This is an American silver dollar right here. Okay. And what's interesting about this American silver dollar is in the original American colonies, the Coin Act, our dollar was to be made only out of silver. Okay. Gold and silver were both treated as money, but the dollar was based on the Spanish piece of eight, which is almost exactly that size and weight. The Spanish piece of eight was the main currency in the entire world when we had our revolution. So we based our American silver dollar, almost to the gram and the millimeter on the Spanish piece of eight. And now the world is going full circle, and we're once again struggling with China over silver. So the Chinese are the world's biggest producer of silver, along with Peru and Mexico. And we are, I think, going to, just like we have with the oil, we're going to try to blockade that silver from going to China. At the beginning of the year, China passed the law that came into and that was enacted on January 1, or the first business day was January 2, that no silver will be exported from China without a license. And they're not granting the licenses. So China needs more silver than it can produce, even though it's the biggest producer of silver. But they still allowed their own silver companies to trade it with the West, just to have it freely pass back and forth. This meant that the LBMA in London or the COMEX in New York could consider the Chinese silver part of the global pool for doing trades. Not anymore. The Chinese part of the silver is out of our equation now. And the silver that's in Mexico and Peru is tied up with Chinese contracts. When companies have gone down there and said, look, we're really desperate for the silver, they find out that the mines have long-term contracts already with China for all of the silver to go to China. And if you want any of that silver right now, you're going to have to pay $15 or $20 over the spot price, which came as quite a shock. So I think that just as we've done with the Venezuelan oil, taking it to send it to Texas to the refineries that can handle it after they're refurbished, I think eventually we're going to come up with excuses for why that Mexican and Peruvian silver can't go to China. It has to go to America. And all of this, to me, is part of what has been called the Pax Americana, which is the American dominance of the world, really, since the Second World War. I mean, the Cold War aside, the U.S. Navy was unchallenged on the high seas. And this allowed an amazing period of free trade, because any ships from anywhere could go anywhere on the globe. No, there was nobody stopping or impeding traffic. A ship from China could go into the Black Sea. A ship from Norway could go to China. They could go through all of these narrow straits like the Suez Canal, the Red Sea, the Malacca Straits below Singapore, the Panama Canal, unrestricted. This led to an amazing blooming of global trade. And if one country wanted to pay more for oil, you'd have to deal with OPEC, and they might set a price, but you might find oil outside of OPEC. But the ships were unrestricted. We're now seeing that come to an end. And we saw one of the first strikes at this with the Houthis in the Red Sea. Now, they were saying that it was over Gaza, and they've stopped firing missiles at ships because the Gaza situation is on hiatus. But they have shown that even a small power in a country with no navy can prevent ships from going through these choke points. And the other choke points can be closed off easily just as well. And you know, it's not that Russia or China is going to directly, you know, plant mines in these straits, but it's very easy for them to deliver weapons to proxies. You could have Malaccan separatists, you know, with homemade mines and drones, supposedly, but they're backed by one of the other powers. So we're edging into a situation of kinetic warfare. And it's actually, there's a term for it, and it sounds very strange, but we actually fought a war like this before, and it was called the Quasi-War. At the end of the 1700s, we fought a 2 or 3 year war with France, undeclared. Nobody's landing on anybody's, taking territory. But they were seizing our ships and we were seizing their ships. And so we're fighting like a gray area war at sea. And that was called the Quasi-War. So I think we're going into now a quasi-war where the world is splitting into blocks. And depending on if you want to count China and Russia as allies, then you could say it's America and the West, a declining America and the West versus the BRICS countries led by Russia and China. Russia for the resources, you know, China for the manpower and industry. And this is going to have severe consequences because they're already making deals outside of the dollar system. And what we've just done in Venezuela is only going to encourage them, you know, to back away from the dollar even more, knowing that Uncle Sam enforces its deals, you know, with helicopter gunships and Delta forces in your face. So this is not going to endear the BRICS countries, you know, to doing deals with America in dollars. And you have to remember, right below Venezuela is Brazil, and he may or may not be any more popular than Maduro was in Venezuela, but Brazil is run by a commie called Lula, who has put the former president, almost like a Trump parallel, Bolsonaro, in jail, probably to die in jail. The country is run by a Supreme Court dictator, a judicial tyrant named Judge Moraes. So there's very little hope of Brazil ever voting its way out of the predicament that it's in. And as long as that they run Brazil, they're going to be supported by China and Russia. We're not going to be able to enforce a blockade on Brazil. You know, it will be very difficult to do, you know, including planes flying in and out, big cargo planes, not just ships. So if we do get ensnared in a quagmire in Venezuela, they're going to have unlimited support and reinforcements coming from Brazil and Colombia. Colombia may be not as far gone as Brazil, but I don't see Brazil throwing off the commies that are running it right now, not anytime soon. If you think that Venezuela was an easy operation, well, all we saw was page one, not even chapter one. We don't even know how the rest of the book is written. So it's way too soon to, declare mission accomplished in Venezuela. You know, the battle is still going on in Venezuela, not with American soldiers at the moment, but with Venezuelans mistrusting Venezuelans, wondering who's a CIA spy that's already been paid off, you know, and who is going to betray me to who. So for now, Venezuelans can't take to the streets because they're afraid of the colectivos, you know, these armed biker gangs that are allowed to basically kill and pillage, you know, with the government looking the other way. So Venezuela is very much up in the air. I hope it works out. I hope it doesn't turn into something like, you know, a cross between Iraq and Vietnam. Remember, after we captured Saddam in 2003, didn't end the war. There's always another junior dictator behind a dictator. If you take out one, the next one just fills his place. So the only difference now in Venezuela is possibly deals are being made and there can be more snatches, but who knows how it's going to turn out. But it certainly is not going to be easy to secure Venezuela. Just send down some engineers and the big American oil companies and everything's going to be great. The commies that are coming in from Brazil, the last thing they want is for Venezuela to succeed under the American, you know, under American protection. This is sort of, I think Trump is envisioning something like MacArthur in Japan after World War II. You know, we're going to, you know, the rising tide will lift all boats and we're going to all get along. That's not going to happen in South America. I mean, I would love for Venezuela to get what it deserves, which is, you know, to have a high standard of living. The people that benefit from their vast natural resources. But it's doubtful that this can just be pulled off peacefully. There are too many players down there that don't want it to succeed. I mean, it doesn't matter if 80% of the people there wish that America could succeed, you know, and raising, you know, their economy back from the shambles it's in. But if 5 or 10% are willing to blow up IEDs or start shooting at what they'll call the traitor police that are working with Americans, it's very easy for me to see how this goes off the rails. Now, I enjoyed listening to Patrick Byrne in the last hour, but let's face it. Look, I mean, it's not even hidden. He's CIA. Okay. So it's logical that he's going to front run and cheerlead the hopium version of this. He's not going to express the doubts I'm expressing, even if he privately has them. He's on team cheerleader. You know, and I'm not. I'm kind of blackpilled on this to the extent that we just pulled a raid. We're backslapping ourselves silly over a raid where we had armadas off the coast for months. And if this gives Trump the idea that now we can do the same thing in Iran, we can easily get into a situation that's going to be even worse than Vietnam. You know, I hate to be an anti-cheerleader, but I've got to kind of call it the way that I say it. And it's very worrisome. Now, another way of looking at this, okay, Pax Americana is over. The world is splitting into at least three factions. We're now going to guard our resources. The free trade era is over. Well, the global economy is based on that free trade. It's not just as simple as splitting into three sections. You know, countries like Japan, Pakistan, Egypt, they import their food. They import their food from all over the world. If, as the world splits into sections and we're dividing up the sea lanes and there's no more free transit, countries like, you know, India, Pakistan, Egypt, Japan, they can face starvation. I mean, they will be at the mercy of whoever allows ships in. So I can see Trump privately signaling to Chairman Xi, okay, you get Asia. Russia, you get the Balkans, Eastern Europe, your backyard, and we're getting the Americas. That sounds great. But between where we are now and that finding a new equilibrium, a lot of ships loaded with grain aren't going to get to countries that will starve without that grain. You know, the breakdown of this free sea lanes of communication that we've had since World War II, that can lead to kind of a global depression. You can't just take a vehicle and chop it into three parts and then expect three wheels to drive off perfectly. You know, the whole system that we've built is predicated on open seas. And if we're now going to be protecting our resources by coming up with sanctions, you know, unilateral sanctions, what's to prevent China from coming up with sanctions against Taiwan and then saying these people in Taiwan are violating these Chinese laws that we made up? And, you know, maybe we'll go in and kidnap them like Americans do, or maybe we'll just blockade Taiwan. Not, you know, then you've got countries like Vietnam and Japan. They're very strong countries, but they're out of the reach of the American naval umbrella. I don't see any scenario where we go in to rescue Japan or Korea or Taiwan now. Our Navy's in range of their missiles, even out in Guam. We're in range. This idea that Venezuela shows that, you know, Team America is back is bogus. It's great for, you know, doing something like this in Venezuela. It's got nothing to do with going to war with Iran or China or Russia. So if we're splitting the world into three parts, it's going to be very ugly getting there. Now, in the time remaining, I want to mention, since I knew this morning I was coming on the show, I put three of my books on Amazon Kindle set for free for Tuesday and Wednesday. So anybody watching this tomorrow, you can just click over to Amazon and download my Dan Kilmer collection, that trilogy, for free, just for, you know, being on the show. Thank you, Alex. And I've also, you know, got my own books, physical copies. If you get them from me, I'll sign them and I'll actually get the money. The money from Amazon for the paper books now is like nil. So if you want to listen to an audiobook or get the Kindle version, you have to go to Amazon. But if you get them from me, I'll sign them and I'll actually get some of the money. It's just Amazon for the paper books has just become a total joke. And if you, as a special deal, if you order either of the trilogies, the Enemies collection or the Dan Kilmer trilogy, I'll throw in the Bracken collection and I'll do the whole thing for $60. So a la carte, that would be like almost 100. These are big books. These are like 500 page books. Anyway, thank you, Alex, for the opportunity. I hate the black pill on people, but I see a lot of downside risk here. And while you can, I think that the real silver is still a steal at $75. If you don't have some of this, people are going to look back and say, Dad, why didn't you buy silver when it was only under $100? You know, what's the matter with you? You could have gotten silver for $80 and now it's $300. I mean, it sounds crazy. I was buying it when it was, you know, $8 and $15. And then I thought it was crazy for buying it at $30. So I'm going to look the same way at $75 silver that I did at $35 silver. It's still going way up. They're not really making any more of it. That's the thing. They need it for everything, and they just can't make it. You know, you can print money, but you can't print the metals. So I'll see you the next time around. It's been great being on with Alex. I really enjoy the conversations with him. I'm glad to get a chance to talk to everybody. You know, follow me on X. I'm Matt Bracken. Matt_Bracken48, and you can reach me there almost anytime, and I'll see you the next time.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do, yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us, We might actually hold on and win, but regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.